The Sex Agenda podcast may contain references to sexual violence, sexual assault, or sexual oppression. Our listeners' well-being is our priority. Please feel free to tune out if you need to. Welcome to episode 16, our bonus episode. Thanks for joining us for our absolute final podcast show of the season. And we decided to do this additional episode on BDSM and kink in response to some podcast survey feedback that we received. So thank you to everybody that's filled in so far. Please keep filling it in, even though this is our final episode. We really want to hear what you guys think, and it will really help us know what to do about our third season.
You're listening to The Sex Agenda.
I'm going to welcome back for our bonus episode, Black Venus, she, her. Some of you may have already heard her on episode 15, talking about her work with sex and rage. She is a sex worker, performer, facilitator, and founder of Sex and Rage, a sex worker-led organisation that resists stigma and shame through sex education. She's also a martial artist with over 20 years' experience and uses her practice to challenge stereotypical notions of strength, has an interest in how self-defense can be used as a tool for healing and community building. So welcome back, Venus, and we're so excited to talk to you in our special episode on BDSM and kink. So if you could very kindly, for our listeners, give us a bit of an intro into what kink and BDSM is and some of the like misconceptions versus realities surrounding
it. Yeah, so BDSM is bondage, domination, and sadomasochism. And kink, I mean, I see kink as a sexual practice, something that you can use to kind of either spice up or enhance certain aspects of your sexual explorations. Misconceptions and realities. I think the words BDSM and kink can scare people quite a bit, just because I think people have this idea in their head of like super heavy flogging and people, you know, like cramped and tied up and like can't breathe and that kind of energy. But really, it can be anything. It can be anything that you find enhancing to your sex life. It can even be things like tickling. So it's really anything that you find enjoyment that isn't like a normative practice, quote unquote.
Thank you. And in terms of your own practice and experiences with BDSM and kink, kind of where does that fit in? If you got like examples to help people kind of understand in a bit more detail, like the spectrum and what that can entail, and I guess how people might be able to like start introducing it if they're interested in going about that.
I think research is everything, and also finding people who you connect with in any way that's important to you. So specifically within the queer kink community/communities, what has been really incredible in exploring is it's kink away from my sessions. For example, when I have sessions with clients, it's a completely different environment to being with queer people or just anyone who's kind of like outside that realm. And it can be soft and it can be hard. It's up to you. I think it's really important to kind of research and to find people that you connect with, and social media is really great for that. And also like watch porn. Pink Label TV is a really great place to explore porn that's outside the mainstream. There's also the Crash Pad series, and it's out there. And watching is sometimes the best way of being able to indulge and to practice. because it gives you ideas and it gives you, and it's sort of like when you can see it being done with bodies that look like yours, that are similar, it's almost like, okay, well, I can do that. That's something that is for me, you know? It doesn't just exist within like mainstream porn or within, or is a scary thing that happens behind closed doors and dungeons. It can happen in your bedroom. You know, I think having representation in sex is super important, and it's out there. It can be hard to find if it's not sort of on your radar. But there are some really incredible like queer kink practitioners and filmmakers and people who, you know, BDSM and kink is really their life. So it's out there. You need to look for it. For example, my friend Max Disgrace is a really incredible filmmaker of like queer porn. So I really like recommend checking him out. And like I mentioned, Pink Label TV is a really great place to find like a wide variety of kinky stuff.
It's really great, first of all, thanks for kind of bringing porn up and that aspect of things, because I think sometimes people see things in mainstream porn and then like want to emulate that, and they're not really sure if that's like a safe thing to be doing, and you know, people just find things on the internet. So it's really nice to know that there are websites like Pink Label that you recommend, where it's maybe more a realistic portrayal of like what should be happening. I mean, do you have any more to kind of say about how things are portrayed in like mainstream porn and like where people get certain ideas from in relation to kink and BDSM?
Yeah, I mean, I watch a lot of porn, so I have a lot to say about porn. But I think the things with mainstream porn is that I don't necessarily hate all of it. I think there's a lot of it that's quite good, but it's very white and it's very... you can tell when it's performative. So you have your work cut out for you, basically, I think, when you watch porn on mainstream sites, because for me, there's no point in watching it if, you know, you're not watching pleasure. So, you know, people make porn, like amateurs make porn. Amateur porn is incredible if people want to kind of like find something where there's more representation and it's more DIY. And you can find that on mainstream sites. Also, it's really good to pay for porn. It's really good to support. You know, it's really easy to consume sex these days for free. But also, this is another conversation as well that I have with quite a few of my friends. And I think, for example, in Berlin, it's not so uncommon for queer people to go and see a sex worker. But here, it's really uncommon. And this is another thing that, you know, like with sex and rage and a lot of the conversations that we're having, it's like sex work is... for everyone. Like if somebody messaged me who was queer, that's incredible for me. I think it's really important that people start kind of seeing these things as these are for us, right? And to not sort of feel that kinky spaces or sex workers sessions and porn, that it's, you know, it's about finding what works for you and finding access. And this is the point, is that I think a lot of people feel a lot of shame around it, but that's why it can become this really like incredible and beautiful journey as well. And sometimes I think with kink, and the thing is with, I mean, I've really learned this from my clients really, and the way they sort of interact with me, is shame sometimes can teach us a lot about ourselves and what we're into and what we desire. You know, I think some people are ashamed of feeling ashamed. It's a journey of shedding that, those things that haunt us from all of those experiences that make us human. I think BDSM and kink is really like a shedding of that.
So yeah, what you said was really interesting there, I suppose, because when I think about my own image of BDSM and kink, I very much see a man getting pleasure, and it's not something that I would associate with women or queer folk getting pleasure. And I definitely think there's a lot to be said around reconstructing the image of BDSM and kink as something that, you know, a greater number of people can enjoy. So yeah, that was really, really great to hear.
Yeah, so I was going to say, when you were talking, I was thinking about like sort of the misconceptions people have around BDSM comes a lot from sort of like the films and TV show that we see, right? Where, you know, someone is in a session and they, you know, sort of like, you know, I'm literally a one in death. They like die from being in like a sort of position or something happened. Like, I'm particularly thinking about a scene in Pose. I don't know if you remember when, you know, it was very traumatic. And I think that for people who have no sort of idea about what that scene is, sometimes some of the things we see in films and TV shows are like quite extreme about some of the things that can happen in those spaces where, like you said earlier, you know, BDSM can be anything from, you know, a little light choking to quite extreme things. But the things that get portrayed in popular culture are quite extreme, and that can sometimes put people off even exploring whether there's something that they might be interested in. So for people who are in relationships, or even just for people who are like dating and seeing people casually, what advice would you give to some of the ways where they can open up that conversation with their partner or the person they're seeing to say, hey, I want to try this, I want to try that? Like, what advice would you give for people to have conversations with people they're having sexual relationships with to see if it's something that can be explored together?
I think it really helps if you really know, not necessarily if you know what you exactly what you like, because obviously you can't know until you've tried it. But I think it's good to sort of like know what the things are specifically that you want to explore. Maybe try and explore it with yourself a little bit. For example, if you like choking, you can do that with yourself. If you like spanking, impact play, you can, a lot of these things you can kind of do to yourself. I think the questions really starts with you and figuring out ways, for example, if you're masturbating or kind of, you know, just having a moment to yourself to try those things. Because also masturbation, it doesn't necessarily just have to be touching your genitals, right? It could actually just be you trying out these forms of kink on yourself and kind of just like figuring out what you're into. I think the question starts there, really, like from your own sort of ventures and like self-exploration. I would say another thing is it's really important to trust the person, especially if it's your first time with something. There's no shame at all if not, but 100%, I think if you're doing anything, particularly anything that's more extreme, choking for long periods of time, anything where you might be getting bruised or marked, doing those things with someone that you really trust would be good advice, you know, especially if you're like a vulnerable person or high risk. Again, watching things online to figuring out what you're like, possibly visualizing it, putting yourself in those positions, thinking, okay, well, how does that make me feel? Do I feel uncomfortable? Do I feel good? It's really important to check in with yourself consistently in preparation to go and explore and play with a partner. See a dom that you trust, or just so you can be in a safe space and explore those kind of things.
Yeah, I just wanted to add, just because that point you made is really interesting. I think it links to some of the things that you've spoken about before, that often the perception is that if you go to a dominatrix or you go to BDSM practitioner or whatever, that you already need to like know in a way what you want, or you can't really go there to, I guess, just ask questions and like do basic learn scoping. Or scoping or teach, but like
taste the session.
But is that something that, you know, sex worker would be open to? You know, is that something that's actually quite normal that people are like, oh, you know, I would just like to see if this would work. Can you help me grasp what works for me?
100%. To be honest, most of the sex workers I know are queer. It's just a thing. It just is. I don't know why, but we are. like a big proportion of us are queer. And we understand, you know, we understand that feeling of being misplaced, being kind of, you know, a bit left field, always sort of never fitting in. That's something that a lot of sex workers I know really feel and are very empathetic towards. Again, we've had this conversation a lot, me and my sex worker friends, about how we're really open and how much we encourage people to ask questions. It's different if it's some white guy who comes and just wants to like know everything and ask you everything, because it's voyeuristic. But if it's someone that you relate to, that you connect to, and who already feels kind of like part of your community, it's something that most of my friends really encourage people to do, with respect, of course. But I definitely encourage people to reach out. There's no harm in doing it. There's nothing to be scared of.
I wanted to say, would one of the ways about broaching the BDSM and kink be sending the person a meme, because that's what I did. Have you seen that meme with a dog when it's like, boy, hit me harder, boing, boing.
I'm literally like, what meme is this? Like,
you need to send it to me.
And it's like, that's how I broached.
Didn't work.
They're like, when?
Well, then, it did. It did the job. Clearly, you guys were vibing and on the same level.
The meme was the...
Adem providing stellar advice. See, there you go. Send those memes.
So with cheeky memes, we'll get the job done. I mean, just on that note, so I am in a long-term relationship, and one thing I always say, and you know, from my work, it's really clear to me that a lot of people don't have good communication with the people that they're intimate with. You know, I think it is privilege that I have good communication. Not everybody has that privilege. Not everybody's in relationships where it's like an equal, like, playing field and everything like that. But I really do strongly believe that if you don't have good communication and you're in a relationship with somebody, and I'm not just talking about like monogamous relationship, I'm talking about any intimate relationship, then I always feel like, you know, venturing down the path of experimental things or, you know, broaching new areas within sex is probably not always the healthiest thing to be doing, because I don't think you're both going to know how to communicate your likes and dislikes. Personally, I always say that you should start with the basics and then like build your way up to some of the more complex things. I'm seeing this BDSM meme, and let me just tell you guys, okay, it is very direct. It's not a subtle meme. It's too
please
direct. And one share. Says, what do you like? The other one's like, I like BDSM. Then the other one has like a thing, like
a baseball bat,
and does bonk, and then the other one says, go to horny jail, and the other one says, hit me harder, daddy. So, to be honest, if you get
there, is nothing subtle about that whatsoever.
No, if you,
I'm finished.
Say, I would not surprise the BDSM, please. Download this meme.
I think you should share this.
The meme.
For sure.
The BDSM dog, basically. Edem has you. Great. do you know what? It was so funny because I saw a tweet today from somebody on Twitter, and they said, at what stage of the relationship do you let that person know that you're a weirdo? And obviously, we're not saying that people that like BDSM, I'm saying Edem with this meme, obviously, a bit of a weirdo. And I was like, you know, absolutely right away, you need to let them know. There's no point hiding it, guys. You need to let people know that you're a weirdo from the off. I'm very frank. I don't try to come with
for real.
Don't bother. Anyway, we have completely digressed, Venus, and I want to make sure that as the expert, the listeners get to hear as much as possible from you. So,
I really enjoyed that digression, to be honest. I want the meme. Send me the meme.
I'm going to email it to you.
yeah, I need it.
I think we might have to find a way of throwing it on our socials so people can see the context as well. So hopefully it'll be on the Sex Agenda Instagram too or something. So Edem also kind of brought this up earlier, how the media portrays BDSM, and we've seen in series like Pose, Things Go Wrong, My Aunt Really Likes Millions, and somebody in there was really into going to a dominatrix, and you know, always looks quite brutal. So I was just wondering if you could give us some a bit more information about practicing BDSM safely and kind of tips around maintaining your safety.
I would definitely say have a safe word. Safe words are really, really important, especially if you're practicing anything more hardcore. But I'd probably the best tip is to just kind of like start gradual and then work your way up.
With gradual, would that be something like, I don't know, would you consider a nipple clamp gradual, or is that no?
Is that like, 7 on the scale?
Wow. Because like some people's moderate, somebody else's hardcore. But like,
so have you got a meme for that as well?
I was checking to see if I did.
So I have my M&S voice. So you could just try saying to your partner, "Perchance are you partial for a nipple curve tattoo?" And see how that goes. Yeah, you can just joke. But no, seriously, Venus, yes, you were saying.
I think, you know, if you're doing things like bondage or using ropes, for example, it's really important to kind of like, and I'm actually not an expert with ropes, but you could definitely find people who are. But when I do tie people, it's really important to know that whatever you tie, for example, you can get out of. There are certain places that you don't tie, for example, the neck. And I think if you're going to do something like bondage, definitely, definitely, definitely do your research. Start basic and then work your way up. Also things like breath play in particular, you could be really like enthusiastic about it. And then when it comes down to it, it could be really triggering. So, you know, start easy in the sense that, you know, if you do practice these things, you know, sometimes you could be in a situation where you might be feeling triggered. And really, like in the long run, if you're with someone who you really trust, when you first start out to explore with someone you trust, you want to know that you're in a safe space. So that if anything, because it is a really emotional experience. People cry, happiness and sometimes from being triggered. It's really important to like know that you've got good aftercare after you finish playing. So when I say start gentle, that's kind of what I mean. If it's like impact play, you know, work your way up. Like the dog, little spikes.
you know? I don't know about that. That meme went
0 to 100.
Yeah, that meme goes pretty. So, for our listeners, are there any last minute resources for BDSM and kink that you think people should check out, especially if they're newbies?
So, definitely the aforementioned websites like Pink Label TV. Crash Pad series, actively look for queer, or doesn't have to necessarily be queer. It's always really important to feel comfortable, but I think if you're interested, you got to take the plunge at some point and really like search for things that turn you on. Obviously Sex and Rage, we've got a great program of like kink and BDSM workshops lined up at the end of September, so I would really recommend people checking that out if you're interested in learning from like some proper experts in their field and in everything from bondage to femdom. And also, it's not a resource, but maybe something to think about, like BDSM specifically is about power. Regardless of whether you're a dom or a sub or a switch, it's about finding your power within your pleasure. Like listen to your body. I think your body is your best resource actually. And everything else is a secondary resource. So really listen to yourself and yeah, try not to be scared.